right, I see Polecat, Nyasilf, Rocco Calzone. A lot
Oh,
of people are
lots.
piling in.
Oh,
Okay, yeah.
nice. I'll start my music quickly. And I'll announce. Hello, everybody. It's Thursday, October 27th, 2022. This is the Fakeologist Show. We do this show Sunday through Thursday around 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time. And tonight is normally Died Suddenly, where we talk with Tiago, who has that massive Facebook group called Died Suddenly, which may have 300,000 members on it. And one of these days, we're going to stream directly to Facebook using his name, because apparently he has the cachet to get people on. Because I want to see if we can get 1,000 people viewing. But he canceled tonight, which is too bad, because Died Suddenly is actually trending on Twitter in Canada, at least right now. Because I think there's a Stupid Peters movie called Died Suddenly coming out in a couple days. And so that's too bad. So maybe next Thursday he'll show up. He had something personal to do. So I went to my Rolodex, and at the top of the Rolodex was Tim Osman of IPS, who I listen to regularly. So I just hit him up at the last minute and asked if he was available, and luckily he is. So Tim Osman, hello.
Hey, Fakeologist, thanks for inviting me on. I was I had an opening, and I'm trying to keep my schedule open for these types of calls. I was
Oh,
trying to reach out to
nice.
you anyway.
Oh, that's
Just a follow up.
fantastic.
If
Hit
we
him
could
up
do
at
this
the.
weekly or whatever, it'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I could do it weekly because I listen to all your stuff. I'm usually right up to date unless I have some issues. And so I could probably talk to you for endless hours just talking about your material that you put up. And as you know, as we talked about last time on FakoTube, I do a lot of clipping of your shows. And from the clips, I put links to your audio or video broadcast.
Awesome. Very much appreciated. And I see all of your tweets. Fakeologist has retweeted from Podcast Addict. And that's how I know you're up to date,
Yeah,
is
that's
by his ones
automatic.
being regularly shared.
Yeah, that's an
Oh, it is.
automatic feature of
Okay.
Podcast Addict if you set it up correctly.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I'm on, I just checked 25 different podcast platforms right now. As they were killing my YouTube channels and stuff, I was always looking for other avenues. And now in the aggregate, we have more subscribers than we can get on YouTube at this time, and there's nothing they can do. But these podcasting platforms have really been helpful as far as maintaining a chronological order of uploads, an archive.
Right. And let me just say that I am streaming on YouTube right now. What I do is I stream the first 2 minutes of my show on YouTube, where we say absolutely nothing that can be construed as against the content guidelines of the big advertisers on YouTube that control it. But at this is the time when I sign off of YouTube and just say, if you want to watch the rest of the show, then you can go to fakotube.com, my platform, and look for episode FAK638. Tim Osman of IPS, and you can listen to the rest of it because I get tired of deleting all my content off YouTube right away. And especially since a couple times they've deleted the content as I was live streaming. So that's even more crazy, and I know that's happened to you. So goodbye, YouTube. Okay, so I just shut off YouTube now. Yeah, that's happened to you, hasn't it? When you're streaming on YouTube
Oh
and they
yeah,
just knock
yes.
you down?
Oh yeah. In fact, we've actually had Google moderators pluck comments out of our live stream chats. They don't play fair, as you know.
Yeah.
And to me, they're sacrificing their integrity. To me, the platform has destroyed its brand. And I may not be the most extremist on these views, but I do give a platform to views I don't always agree with. And lately, I've decided I'm getting back into publishing, specifically in-house self-publishing, but I want to publish banned or bannable content. Conversations I've had for hours, like with Lynn, that get banned because of what she talks about. Like, I'd like to have these transcribed and made available not only in print, but my plan is to integrate print with a QR code link so people can download the content digitally. Just kind of a reciprocal print to digital format that is impervious to censorship.
Interesting. Yeah, you're always innovating. You're always trying to figure out a way to get around it. Yeah, I think I have two or three YouTube channels that were struck down, and I just it's too much work to validate an account to get back up on YouTube. And of course, the whole point is of being on YouTube is to be served up as a suggestion, because otherwise people are definitely not going to find me anyway on YouTube. So therefore, if it's not serving me up
Well, that's
as a
smart.
suggestion, yeah.
That's really smart, though, what you do here with the 2 minute thing. Don't
Yeah.
say anything, don't hit any hot buttons, and
Yeah.
in 2 minutes, you'll get the people who are looking for you. That's a really good idea. And I could probably do that with one of my channels and just switch it off and use that, because I find people that hit me up and like, I thought you went offline a year ago or 6 months ago, and like, I've never stopped talking.
Yeah,
It's
yeah.
just that we're always whack-a-mole.
Well, now you have a one URL that's easy to remember, ips.monster. So if anyone's looking for you, they can just easily find you now, and they only have to remember one URL, which is really the only way to go.
It really is. From a branding perspective and marketing perspective, rather, it has to be something that's easy to transmit in a sound bite, or just put on a sign or a note. And ips.monster is my go-to, and it's been working well, because even though I've had all these channels truncated, on a regular night we can have 130 people hanging out for an hour plus, which doesn't sound like a lot. However, considering we're starting from ground zero, it's actually pretty good. If you look at the analytics, we're definitely growing. It's just we're starting off small, but that's the main thing is now I control our starting point
Yeah,
of
you have to. You have to have
the
one
rough
place for people to
amenity.
look for you. They can't spend their whole lives looking for your YouTube channels. It's a real waste of time, isn't it? So, you've got your Discord there as well. Do you have to be a member of IPS to get in the Discord?
To get in the main one, you
Mm-hmm.
do. But
Okay.
there's a 24/7 public Discord that interfaces with the chat. That one's open to anyone. And lately, I've just been jumping in at random in the voice chat. And
Okay.
I usually we record so we can transcribe. But yeah, we get into a lot of conversation there, even though it's a public free Discord server.
Which one am I looking at now on ips.monster? It says Discord, 28 members. Is that the main, is that the pay one or the chat one?
That's the free one you can click on. That means
Mm-hmm.
there's 28 people hanging out in the chat right now. There's like 160 or 170 members there so far. And then of course you can like T-Dog135 is listening to the show on IPS.monster, which we have the audio streams, which I alluded to earlier. And there right now we have 16 or 17 people on the audio only stream.
Right. I have five people listening to fake11.com/radio1 or fake11.com/stream1. And that's my Icecast server system there. We've got Sweden, Redding, California, Newport, Rishi, Florida, and Sacramento. They're all listening in on the audio. And for some reason tonight, my statistics on FakoTube are not coming up. So I don't know how many people are on FakoTube because it's kind of having an issue connecting and I can't remember how to start that up. So I'll have to just leave that as a mystery right now. But if you're on FakoTube, you should be in the chat so you can sound off and say hi. I have a couple regulars, Epic Souls and Greg Shantz. So there might
Oh yeah, I
be
see
more.
Tuna. Yeah, Tuna XXX. I actually posted a link there as well, so I'm inviting people over to FakoTube to chat, and they'll show up on the screen here. And of
Yeah,
course, you'll be able to
TuneAx
hear their
is
chats.
indeed live. So thanks everyone. We got regular listeners too. I know you have an army of regulars on your website, which is quite interesting, which is great actually. Well, you have your regular, and you're on Rofkin right now. I'm not on Rofkin. I just don't have time to create another.
Yeah, I know, I get it. Platform fatigue. I had it
Yeah.
bad, and I'm really reticent about doing anything that I don't control anymore. But Rofkin, the reason I went with them is, well, there's a few things about them I like. I mean, it is tied to a crypto called Ray, RAE.
Oh, okay.
And so
Don't
to me,
rate me.
it's just like a crypto. Oh, okay. Well, that's
I
probably
don't
what
know.
it
I
is.
don't know.
But the thing is, to me, it's like a good indicator of where I actually should be, because as I said on YouTube, I can't get more than a couple hundred subs before they snipe my channels. Rofkin, it's just kind of there passively as an archive, and it's picked up almost 1,400 so far.
Can you make money on it?
Yeah, I do get. You can get tipped. It all goes through this crypto wallet, but it's pretty easy to switch it over. I think if you have any experience with crypto,
yeah, and I'm doing the Epic thing. Nice, I'm doing Epic.
Okay, and yeah. Well, I would say look into it. One other reason is that the owners or whoever controls it, they do curate, it seems like, a good collection of creators. You know, it's not all glowy. It's not like a blue check thing. It's just that anybody who is has been banned on YouTube has probably made their way here. Live streamers. It's also really friendly for live streamers, which is what, you know, BitChute doesn't have that.
Yeah.
You know, if BitChute had that, I would love them. But Rofkin has them beat because it's got the live thing.
Mm-hmm. So how do you connect to the live? How do you connect to the live? What software?
The way you can, okay, you just use your standard OBS software, and then you just turn it on. And in fact, I'll turn on Rofkin right now. I didn't hit the on button, but you know it's a pretty simple thing. And then also you can upload podcasts, just the audio, and everything can be paywalled. You can do paywalled blogs, etc.
Yeah,
there's a few people on there I follow as far as content creators.
So you're making crypto on there. Are you making enough to make it worth your time? Have you figured out what you're making on there?
Yeah, I looked at what I'm not making what I was making on DLive, but right now it's pretty new. But considering it's new, it's probably making a couple hundred a month.
Oh, that's
I just
great.
Won't be able to. I just decided because it's, you know, crypto wallet, I'm just not going to touch it till the number gets high enough, and maybe if the Raycoin goes up. Mm. And so you mentioned earlier I should invest in better hardware, and that's kind of what I'm thinking. This is sort of a, you know, a piggy bank.
Yeah, well, good for you. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll look into Rofkin, but I can't put more energy into doing more than I'm doing. I've got my own platform. It's worked for 10 years. And I'm on the value for value model. So if people want to donate, they can easily just go to the donate page, and they can even the crypto that I'm having fun with right now is called Epic Cash. And Epic Cash is supposed to be the updated version of Bitcoin. And so far it works in the sense that through Telegram, there's an Epic Cash tip bot, and you can just type one line and send money or Epic Cash in a one-line statement to anyone who has a tip bot Epic Cash wallet. So, or you can just use a regular old Epic Cash app to shoot money, and it goes very quickly. So,
Now, have you heard of YouTube supposedly kicking people, or they now have the ability to kick people off their platform who are engaging in, you know, hate speech or something like that?
Well, we've been kicked off just for almost no reason. So, if that's the reason, it doesn't matter. Because why do you get kicked off? You're not hateful.
I'm sorry. I meant PayPal. Excuse me.
PayPal. Yeah. Well, they just reinstituted the $2,500 thing that they said they were getting rid of. Yeah. So if they don't like you, they're going to take your money up to $2,500 because that's what they say is the cost of getting you off their platform.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well,
it just came back in the last couple of days. I saw that on Twitter. So now it's back.
That's what they say now. You know, it's because dangerous misinformation or hate speech. But soon, criticizing climate activists gluing themselves to oil paintings will be considered hate speech.
Well, yeah, it's whatever they want it to be. It's if you drive on the wrong side of the street, or you live in the wrong state. It doesn't matter. It's their platform. But why, you know, the best business in the world these days is to be a bank. And PayPal is a bank. They take a huge cut. I had a $1 donation through PayPal, and they took 35%. Now, I know it's because it was a low transaction amount, but that's a pretty outrageous split, I think. I know if someone donated $100, it would only be about 3%, but 35% on a $1 donation. So that's why I figure, well, okay, if you guys are going to be like that, because PayPal, in a sense, is its own cryptocurrency. I think people need to realize that. They are a bank, and you have PayPal dollars, and the terms of service are so egregious that if they don't like you, they can just take your money. What bank do you know does that? Now, I know in Canada they freeze bank accounts, but I guess
J.P. Morgan, they just took Kanye's money.
They just told him to leave. I don't think they stole his money, but PayPal is stealing your money. And if you press submit when you sign up right now, you're agreeing to that. So don't submit. Get something else. Like, I'm using Epic Cash because I trust one of the guys that's heavily promoting it. I've known him for years, and I'm not gonna tell you I know the difference really between that and Bitcoin, other than what I've been told. But they don't take my money. They don't take a cut. And if they don't like me, they're not going to knock me off. So we all are going to have to look for alternatives. And PayPal is definitely not one of them. And I have a number of monthly donors on PayPal. So I'll respectfully, if I can, ask them to switch to this model, the Stripe donor box. Donor box so far has not come out to say they're going to steal money. So if you're a donor on PayPal, switch over.
They don't even have to switch. I would just recommend
cancel.
Maybe it's just crazy how they get so, like, Patreon is a disappointment. You know, you have to be careful what you send on Patreon. And I would like the ability to criticize and examine anything.
Yeah,
but they don't even want you to talk about the wrong answers. You can't even talk about these things objectively. But
for them to say you are a hateful person, for you two to be chasing you around all the time, that just tells me you're flying over the target all the time. And when I listen to you, you're not being hateful in any way. You're just being skeptical. So if skeptical is against the law or against YouTube's sponsorship, you know, they have all the big sponsors on there. If they don't like the truth and you keep getting kicked off, then that means you keep talking about the right things. So to me, it's a badge of honor. Okay, YouTube just kicked me off this week. I guess I'm still on the right topic.
Yeah, it just makes us stronger. I'm extremely toxic. I'm a walking toxic meme super spreader. By the way, tomorrow is the birthday of the first. Well, it's the anniversary of the first Q drop. 10/28. It's also Bill Gates' birthday.
Okay.
10/28.
I never was a big follower of Q. I don't even know when Q started. I don't know much about Q.
Okay, well, I have to say I think you're lucky. I mean, really, it's something to dodge because what it is, though, I think it's a big opportunity to look into how governments weaponize religious fervor, and that's what it is. It's a religious / political movement. But anyway, I'm looking closely at tomorrow. I mean, we have the midterms coming up in a couple of weeks. But the QAnoners, I do follow their extreme fringe. And their leadership, like some of their leading figures are saying, that they believe that Trump's going to be arrested sometime. And tomorrow is Q's anniversary, and that's kind of their date. It probably won't happen. I just have to mention it, because there's always some kind of prophecy that they're putting out there. And just for posterity, I like to mention it so we can always know.
And almost none of them come true, these prophecies. Almost nothing ever comes true. No, they're never, their record is never discussed the next day when it comes and goes.
Well, they have a system, though. Like yesterday, Elon Musk walked into the headquarters of Twitter holding a sink.
Right.
And the tweet message was, "Let that sink in." Some kind of
bad joke. Oh, I see. That's a bad joke.
Very bad. But there's a Q drop that says nobody's gonna sleep tonight, let that sink in.
Oh,
and the
boy.
Q drop's number, yeah, is 621. Yes, the date that this meme happened with Musk was 1026. In their minds, those numbers correlate. Let that sink in was a reference to the future purchase of Twitter by Musk. Because that tweet's like that Q drop was like 5 years old. So we're talking about retroactively fulfilling prophecies in a cherry picking kind of way. It's pretty bad.
I would say. Yeah, I only hear about Q through you. I don't really listen to anyone else, or I don't go directly to whatever source there is on Q. Speaking of being canceled, as you did point out on one of your shows in the last week, our Discord at Fakeologist was nuked last week at the worst time, because I have a special audio processing box that was being screwed up by my bad networking at home. And the guy that was helping me was in transit from one side of the world to the other. So I had many things go wrong last week. Have you ever had a Discord get nuked by Discord?
No, I have not. Mm-hmm. The only thing I've had is I've had trolls send me direct messages, get me to say something that they can pull my account for, but I've never lost a whole server. How many times has this happened to you?
I think it's been 3 times. And every time you lose all your accounts, all your logins, and some of your moderators sometimes get fried as well, so they have to create a new login. And then you have to give your phone number. It's like YouTube. Then they start wanting your phone number, so you can't have multiple accounts. If you give the same phone number, then they'll take that account and move and transfer it from the other account, and that other account will go dead, which is kind of funny, actually, when that happened.
Do you think somebody, like Linda Curtis in chat says, somebody's reporting him. Do you think that maybe this is the malicious actions of some channel hater? Or do you
Probably.
Think this is actually Discord?
Well, it's both. I've noticed that Discord makes it really easy to report a channel or anything. If you click on somebody's name, there's a button right beside it that says report. So it's not like you have to go looking to find out, how do you report this guy or this server? It seems to always be there. You might accidentally report somebody if you're not careful what you're clicking.
Yeah, you do have these blizzards. You have these snowflakes that gang up. Mm-hmm. And they all flag a channel.
Yeah.
And I've been hit, and I've spotted those. I've joined some of these groups. Like, I've been following on Twitter a group of anti-Q people, and I just monitor. And they throw someone up, and they say, this person needs to be flagged. They share it in their group.
Yeah.
And the person disappears. They're really good at disappearing people. And that's what is so disconcerting about this modern form of censorship, is that it relies on citizens to censor citizens, or netizens versus netizens. It's not even top down. They just just let them censor each other.
And people love the power. If you figure you brought down a big Discord, and none of my Discords get to more than a couple hundred people, so I don't think I have a big Discord, but I guess if you think it was you that brought it down, and what I'm doing is I'm trying to, I'm not really too worried about the Discord, because we don't keep the archives and they just scroll away. And I tell people, don't put anything important in the Discord. Try and use my Fakeologist forums, where I control the data. I own the data, and it's much easier to find. Like, for instance, today I was trying to find the topic of salt, where we have a couple people that say you should do the opposite when it comes to eating salt and what you should eat. And if it was on the Discord, I would never find it. But if I just type in salt into my forums, I can find the thread, which is all neatly arranged, and I don't have to ever go looking for it. So that's one thing I like to encourage these old-fashioned forums. Yeah, okay, they're not as colorful and not as easy to play with on your phone, but they still work. And they're not instant like Discord, but once you save something there, it's easy to find, easy to search, and it's easy to read.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's important to control this information. You're aggregating great intel from a lot of listeners, a lot of researchers. You know, why put it in a server they control and can eventually destroy? What I'm doing with our servers is I'm downloading the content, and I'm going to publish it, like I said. I'm going to put it into print and upload it in other formats. And, of course, forums are always a good idea.
Yeah, so the other thing is, the other trick that I'll share with you, maybe you're lucky you haven't been nuked on Discord, is what I'm doing is you can share the template of your server, and anyone can just take the template. It doesn't copy the content. It takes the channel layout plus the permissions, which are sometimes tricky to do, and they can take that link that you give them, and they can start a copy of your server and hold it for you. And that way, if you get nuked, you can just say, okay, who's holding my template? Can you lend it to me back under your new account? So that's sort of a trick we've used. The other thing I've done, I'm not sure you know about this trick, is a Discord lookalike called Gilded. And I've set up a Gilded. It looks just about the same. I'm not sure what it's missing. But I'm not also not sure if they've been deleting servers. So I have a parallel server on Guilded going on right now. So people can easily find that at fake11.com/Guilded. And that's my permalink.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Infinite Playing Societies on Guilded. So I'll join you on there. I set that up a while ago as a backup. If Discord goes, we'll recongregate there. Guilded is very much, I think, almost parallel to Discord. Mm-hmm. I've also had some good experiences with Alt Slack, but that might be more for business purposes, but it's just like Discord. If you can use one of these, you can kind of use them all.
Okay.
And they're all kind of getting better. I mean, Discord's improved quite a bit.
Yeah, well, and the more they improve, the more censorious they get, the more virtuous they get. And maybe, I don't know who runs Discord, where they get their money, but if they have some mainstream sponsors, they're going to be busy censoring away. So what's the name of your Guilded? How do you find your Guilded? Is it on ips.monster, or do you have to search for it?
Yeah, I don't think I've linked it yet, but I built it as a background. But I believe the name on it, if you go to Guilded, is just Infinite Plane Society. Yeah, guilded.gg, as in...
I'm not even...
Slash, right?
Yeah, I'm not even sure how to find other Guildeds right now.
Yeah, but I'll make it available if needed. I'm just making the point that we'll never be deleted. You know, we cannot be canceled or totally deplatformed. But, you know, this has been an interesting week, though. We've been watching the public deplatforming and cancellation of Kanye West. Have you followed how thorough they've been with this? I mean, every facet of his life seems to be taking some kind of a fall.
Yeah, and I just before you got on, I am a big follower of Miles Mathis, as you are. I know you've been reading some of his stuff. And he just wrote a piece today on a legal question. Wait, that's the wrong one. I have so many Miles Mathises. Here it is here, where he says you should boycott the boycotters of Kanye. A call for a counter boycott. So he's really up to date on his work as well, Miles Mathis. And I do like him. And he's the only one.
Oh, yeah.
He's the only one that really says stuff that we say, that and you had a really good read of one of the OJ papers from 2016, which is an oldie but a goodie. There are almost no one other than you and Miles and myself saying that the OJ trial was made for TV. It's totally fake. It's a fake parallel legal system made for TV.
Yes.
And you were saying it influences. Yeah. It influences the real court system, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's a strange point that he brought up. I mean, really, to consider, it's heavy. His work is very scholarly, very thorough.
Mm-hmm.
And he raises the point, what does it mean when you have these fake, made-for-TV court dramas that become it just becomes law? It's like, okay, this is now a new precedent that's been established. Are we allowing fake court TV, pre-scripted psyops to actually control our reality? And yeah, it's true. I mean, look what they did with 9/11. It just seems like this is the standard way, but yeah, it's kind of in our face. And the OJ case is definitely worth looking at, and it's relevant today for a few reasons, I would say. I think a lot of those players are still around on the world stage, but we're talking about Kanye. Well, the Kardashians are obviously connected to the OJ case.
Yeah, they were born from the OJ. From the OJ case, yep. The Kardashian, Robert Kardashian. Who'd ever heard of him before? Not me.
Right, exactly. And then you had court TV reporter Harvey Levin becoming TMZ.
Mm-hmm,
and TMZ is front and center with all of these celebrity-driven psyops.
Right.
Like, in a way, I look at someone like Kanye as the star of a never-ending TV show, like The Truman Show.
Yes.
Like, there's a point where this is far deeper than mere paparazzi. They're giving you the inside their minds and everything. And, you know, I don't think that he's ignorant of it. There's a point where I wonder, are all these people that we see on the TV playing a role on the world stage that we think is separate from the movie screen, and we don't realize it's fake? And I think that's a big part of their psyop, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They obliterate the boundaries between real and fake in the minds of the masses. They don't have a clue.
Is Kanye going rogue, or is this part of the script? Have you made your mind up on that?
Yeah, I have. The reason why is that I called this back in January. I started talking about there's a parallel between the fall of the West and Kanye West's world burning, specifically the influence of Hollywood values. Like Putin is saying it's the Antichrist West, and Kanye said Hollywood has ruined his family. And I was calling this out then, that we're going to see his life fall apart and burn by Red October, and that this will correlate with Putin heating things up.
Wow, you called this in January? Amazing.
In January, I put out this meme, rather a collection of images together called called "The West is a Burning House," because I was noticing there's a whole lot of references that have been really connecting pretty strongly from West Eros burning in Game of Thrones to West World burning to the Rust Western with that chapel, and then Stranger Things, you had this Town of Hawkins burning, and there's this reoccurring theme here that all correlates to the West being brought to its knees, destroyed, the sun setting on the West, and all of Putin's framing of his arguments against the West tie into this. And I was pointing out how the Kanye West situation is going to be some kind of personified, maybe a metaphor for the West, the excesses of the West, out of touch with reality, and we're going to see this icon fall. And this burning of Kanye West's world, I'm saying, was telegraphed back in January when this 19-story building in the Bronx burned. It was the Northwest Tower of the Twin Parks apartments there. And around this time, there was a lot of contention between Kanye and Pete Davidson, including sort of like not-so-concealed death threats. And his family was being torn apart by this. And what I extrapolated from the subtext, as I do, this Metascript view is Kanye West's world is burning as the West is being called out as being responsible for the world burning and for space being polluted, you know, up into space, you know, space junk even. And I was saying that the West is going to have to be brought to heel, because if we let these billionaires lead us into space, it'll be unsustainable. And this story of Russia referring to us in this manner was predicted, I would say, back in that event, even down to the cause of the fires, space heaters. And the space heaters are seen as symbols of inequality. They were too poor to afford real heaters, and they wouldn't have needed heaters if the rich people hadn't destroyed the environment. This climate change Marxist tie-in. Now, this story taken together led me to say, yeah, we're in this year of Pluto return, very significant for this country. And specifically, though, Donde 2, which was Kanye's event, which corresponded with the return of Pluto, put him front and center with this particular story. And I was correlating this return of Pluto with the fall of the West. That's what I mean. The fall of the West corresponds with Pluto's return. And all of this has been associated with Kanye. And I think he's going to personify this fall. And then that brings us up to right now in October. And if you follow the last few months and the main storylines that I've outlined, you can see that it has tracked along this path. And right now, as we would expect, I think the culmination of it, Putin is even now doing drills, preparing to nuke the West. Meanwhile, Kanye has fallen from his status as a billionaire. He's been described as a giant who's fallen to the earth, and he's been kicked out of the Skechers building, you know, just thrown out the window, basically. And I'm saying that this is an intentional thing, and here's what even solidifies it even more. His song Black Skinhead, released in 2013, and his song Jail. Both these songs are collaborations with Marilyn Manson. And that alone is what seals together to me a lot of the scripted nature of this. Marilyn Manson is a major player in a lot of these psyops and has been since Littleton. And what I came together with is that Kanye West, Black Skinhead, that song, and Marilyn Manson, the connection there, well, Marilyn Manson brings in Charles Manson, who introduced the concept of the helter skelter, a race war in America. Now you have Kanye West hanging out with this Manson character, and what does he do? And this is just recently, and this precipitates this helter skelter. He steps out in front of the world media, in front of the world, very popular person, next to Candace Owens, 33-year-old, wife of Parler's CEO, and political agitator in her own right. Candace Owens Kanye West, both wearing White Lives Matter. Not only are they wearing this message to counter Black Lives Matter, but she just put out a documentary which says that Black Lives Matter is based on a scam, a lie, and that George Floyd overdosed on fentanyl. So they threw a punch. And then the Floyd family says they're going to sue Kanye for $250 million. This back and forth, BLM versus WLM, White Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, just as Chauvin's, I guess you would say his, the other the cops that were with him, his partners there, they're all on trial right now at the same time. The message from Kanye's side is Chauvin did nothing wrong. But anyway, what this all leads to is, and this has been my contention, the idea that there's going to be some kind of engineered civil unrest in America. And during that moment, that's when Putin strikes. That's when America is, you know, formally done. And this is sort of, this is not sort of, this is specifically forecast. Like I said, in Westworld, in Stranger Things, and in a number of other shows I could point at, and it's all very consistent with this return of Pluto narrative as it relates to America's time of its birth. And the thing about Kanye West's role in this and why he's even significant, what it comes down to, I think, is this symbol of the black star or falling star, it's central, I think, to this message. Anytime you see even Black Rock in particular, very common reoccurring theme, I think right now what he's representing is some kind of, like I said, the falling of the empire. There's some kind of fall being prescribed here.
Wow. Wow, that's, yeah, I know you've talked about this all week, so you've got this pretty down pat. You need a red book where you write all this stuff down so we can see all your predictions. Do you have that, or do you keep a blog with that kind of information, with the dates?
Yeah, actually, at timosmond.blog, I do post these things, and I do have mind maps, and the mind maps are where I'm showing you how the stories that we're seeing, these engineered stories, are multi-leveled, and they're being told in the world stage, in the news, and in the fiction. And this new term, have you heard me use the term concurrent programming?
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's the main thing here. I think the main development is that you have this zeitgeist building apparatus of the mainstream media, and they're using entertainment that coincides with the news, but it's done in such a way that you can't say it's coincidence. It has to be, there has to be foreknowledge. Like I pointed out, Game of Thrones, the new season, the House of the Dragon, very first episode had a very clear Roe v. Wade tie-in. And that could not be possible unless they knew there was going to be a leak. And that's a very significant thing, just considering, again, how immersive our media is and how everything is geared towards sending us the same message. And this is why I first started looking more recently at Kanye closely, is he did an interview with Tucker Carlson where he remarked on how the media is such an echo chamber, paraphrasing, that he felt like he was in the Truman Show.
Yeah, he's using all the buzz phrases for us to pick up on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And you know, a lot of people are following Kanye right now. I find this to be interesting to me. It's just that how many people think that he's actually speaking truth to power, or that he's actually fighting in some... It's like, if anything, this is just the Kardashian season, whatever it would be, in 2022. I think that this is a reality TV show. And like I said, the storyline that I'm delineating here alone, and I think I stand by this as a series of events that are beyond coincidence. That alone would suggest that anything that's happening with Kanye is not coincidental. And in the post that I made on my blog back in May, I said the Hunt for Red October tie-ins, it'd be in October when we'd see all this come into fruition with the nuke from Russia and the burning of the West and Westworld. And I was saying Kanye's going to go Manson. He's going to go OJ, something along those lines. And that's what we're waiting on. And of course, like I said, the song Black Skinhead is hugely significant here. And then a few days ago, he claims that Django Unchained was his idea. That's this Quentin Tarantino film based on Nat Turner's Slave Rebellion. And for him to associate himself with the Django Unchained right now is hugely significant, because Nat Turner's the inspiration for the Turner Diaries. which is the Bible of the white nationalists, which he is playing the role right now. This is all very powerful social manipulation because they're playing with people's minds and emotions on these issues that are just hot button issues as we approach the midterms. The midterms are again in a couple of weeks, and I think this is a huge deal. On the occult side, we're in Scorpio now, ruled by Pluto. And this Pluto return, I think, is the most important facet of this big story, like along with this great reset story. And the fact that the midterms right now have been compared to the midterms during the American Civil War, the way that this is being framed, you have armed MAGAs hanging out at the polling areas looking for mules. I think that this is a crucial turning point. And I would even say that the phrase midterm, to me, is really significant as everything here is divided so perfectly down the middle. And it's not just America, it's everywhere, but you know, the schism. And the schism's really been highlighted since 2020, as we often talk about.
Yeah, with the vax, no vax. The vax, no vax, that's another huge one that I'm still sort of on the fence about. Is this injection doing real damage, or is it not, or is it a simulation? It's a tough one. I'm still just looking for clues as to what they're putting out and what I see in reality, and what I think is more real. People I know, people know.
I think we can objectively look though and say. Let's say we considered that a red herring. Mm-hmm. Look at everything else that transpired as a result of this forced choice. Right. And they did this too, I believe it was to divide us into saved and unsaved. Mm-hmm. And it also forces people to accept a premise. And I think what happened is we were all inducted into the new world state church and given a new priesthood, a new concept of sin.
Yeah.
And this new religion is just rolling on. And I think that those who didn't question were maybe well-intentioned, but I think they're just blind to what they've actually given up. And what I'm saying they've given up is they've accepted a certain premise. Like they've accepted the idea that the world could be shut down as a result of this. And I still dispute the pandemic model as much as I dispute the climate change model. I believe in weather. I don't believe in climate change. People get sick. Maybe you catch something, but I don't believe that that guy's soup caused everything else. And I think that's one of the things that they really need us to believe. They need us to believe that somebody can hit a button and blow us all up. Mm-hmm. That's why the nuke thing is so powerful for them to manipulate people. And I'm surprised they haven't done it yet. It's just constant threat. But
I heard it's big in New York State, New York City, but we don't get it here in Canada. No, we don't hear about that at all, but in New York City, New York State, they have at commercials running in the major media talking about what to do if there is a nuclear event. It seems like local programming. It's because it's not here. I only hear what we see coming through the New York State media.
Now, if it hit New York, you would be hit with the fallout, wouldn't you?
Well, presumably, unless it's one of their local bombs or dirty bombs. They have so many types of phony bombs that I don't know. There should be a chart as to what each one of them can do and how far they can reach, etc. Yeah, you would think that we would be in a fallout zone. But who knows how far the reach is.
Yeah, I would say that they would want to notify you.
Yeah, it would be nice to know.
Well, they
definitely
did give the PSA and they explained to everybody.
Are they doing it where you are in New Mexico? Are they giving you advice as to what to do if someone drops a dirty bomb or a nuke bomb?
The places where I've noticed the DHS was doing drills in Austin, and the threat I've been seeing is drone-borne dirty bomb. And the reason why they insist on it being dirty is that even if you're not in the impact zone,
right,
if you're in the area, they can lock you down. They'll say, oh, there's too much radiation, you got to stay home.
That works city, just as well as a phony virus flying in the air. You can't see it, you can't sense it, you can't taste it. If you're feeling bad, then you can blame it on radiation. And never mind that you just ate, you know, something unhealthy for yourself, or you've been under stress for a week listening to all this nonsense. So, yeah, the radiation could easily work, I think, now when we see that we're told that viruses are flying through the air and you gotta dodge and weave and put on a mask and goggles and safety suit. And they've seen how people believe it. They've seen that they know the levels of belief. And I think if it's only 30%, that's enough to make the whole society have to bend.
Oh yeah. In fact, this reminds me, I think there's a game out there called something Fallout, and I believe it's free until tonight. Now, there's a lot of heavy predictive programming for both falling space stations and for nuclear winter or fallout. And this West burning thing that's been projected, I mentioned in all these movies, in Westworld, it happens in the form of an EMP blast. Okay. And the Space Needle is heavily figured in that one. In Game of Thrones, Westeros is burned by dragons, but then the winter, which is like a decade-long winter, arrives, and then the ashes from the fires are raining down around them, and it looks like it's mixing with the snow, and the message there is nuclear winter. Stranger Things ends with the Earth cracking open with an earthquake that corresponds to an actual drill earthquake done in Seattle, and you have from the sky this looks like fallout raining down. And that has been so consistent that I think that if I had to base my guess on predictive programming, which I think is a good indicator, nuke fallout by dirty bomb is on the menu.
Do you watch Westworld? Is that that's a series? That's a Netflix series, I believe.
It's on HBO, and the way I watch things is I only watch things if I'm going to review them, and I'm watching it, keeping it in mind that this is what is popular right now. This is what is being pumped into the minds of the reality impaired. Like, I don't watch it for entertainment. I actually do take notes, and I look for the subtext. I take screen caps. It's all analysis. And I did watch everything in Westworld, and there have been some scenes that are just so prescient. And to me, this is why the term concurrent programming is so significant, because it's across all the different networks. Doesn't matter what network, what channel, the messaging is the same.
Yeah, I've never really watched Westworld. I think I watched one episode of the first one, and that's where they're wandering around with all these simulated people, and they're the dummies, and they, the drones, I guess, or
It's based
NPCs.
On, I believe there was an older version from 1973, which is also very significant. The year 1973 has a lot of mirrors right now. Like, for example, Roe v. Wade was actually a leak in 73.
Right.
The whole Watergate 73 right now with Trump, there are a lot of things. Soylent Green, the movie, came out in 73 and was set in 2022.
Yeah, I actually watched that. It's a terrible movie, but I watched it.
Oh, I bet it's terrible by today's standards or by any standards.
Yeah, I don't like Charlton Heston either. So, but I watched it. I watched the whole thing just for the research.
Okay, like, so I might have to watch Jeffrey Dahmer for the research, because Jeffrey Dahmer is the number one or number two on Netflix.
Yeah, and I can't watch
knowing
that.
Knowing that Netflix is the product of the great nephew of Bernays, progenitor of public relations.
Yeah.
There must be a reason why it's trending. And I'm saying this is the year of Soylent Green. And I think they're force feeding the masses cannibalism for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jeffrey Dahmer was another.
I don't think they actually want to
see. It was another fake trial.
Yeah, he's a cannibal.
Yeah. It was another fake trial. Isn't like whoever comes up with these cases has a really sick mind. And I really doubt. I'm sure it was just another court TV. Was that before or after OJ? I think it was after.
Yeah, it would have been slightly after, and then he was conveniently killed off after a lot of interviews Like, why did they interview the sicko? But you're suggesting it was fake. And look, I was deep into true crime. I read all the books and I saw all the gruesome pictures. But thinking back on it,
Oh, did you
it
think
could
it was a real,
100%.
you think it was a real event?
Well, I haven't looked back on it, but I'm saying growing up, I thought it was real. But
Oh, yeah,
now,
for
just thinking
sure.
back on it, I mean, it's whoever wrote it would have to have been very sick. But I'm open to it all being fake. For example,
Yeah.
I did a lot of research on Ted Bundy,
Right.
and at the time of my research, it was only a mere coincidence that Anne Rule, who wrote all the books about him, worked with him at a crisis center. It's like you're
Right.
telling me that this author, who's the number one crime scene author, happened to be friends with Ted Bundy,
That's
who
rather
wrote A Stranger
convenient.
Beside Me.
Yeah.
Very convenient. I'm like, is this some kind of propaganda? And I'm thinking, what could be the meaning? Because there's got to be an intention behind every one of these psyops. Like Ted Bundy, maybe that was propaganda to attack, toxic masculinity or men and
Yeah,
impugn
war
all
on
men as
men,
like
yeah.
rapists or something.
Yeah.
Like that was one take. Dahmer, that could have been race war agitation
Yeah.
because you have
Yeah.
a white guy not even questioned by the police as he's preying on racial minorities, and then you have a clip where the police are laughing as they return a victim to him. That there was a very incendiary thing, and that's why I believe he was killed in prison. That was the rationale. But as far as his overall story, was it believable that he was melting people in his home and dumping them down the bathtubs and making things out of their body parts? I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen pictures. They show a diagram of this altar he had, but I didn't see an actual picture. But I'm leaning towards fake until proven real.
Yeah, Miles Mathis is one of the only people that would write something like this, and he also agrees that all of the serial killers were fake, from Charles Manson, Zodiac, Ted Bundy, Richard Cunningham, Ted Kaczynski, Son of Sam, the Night Stalker. Yeah, there are no serial killers. This is more of a sick, someone's sick imagination. So I tend
Okay,
to, yeah.
the Night Stalker was from El Paso, and
Okay.
he went to school there, and I was stationed there for a bit, and I studied that case.
Okay.
And one of the things I found in his book, in the book about him, is that he actually traveled from there to San Francisco, and he attended a ritual with the Church of Satan, and the founder of the church had something to say about him, said he was a quiet, polite kid or something. He calls his mom. And he said something about the devil touched him, or he met the devil. Anyway, then he goes on his killing spree as the supposed Night Stalker. Then you look at the Charles Manson event, another public
By the way, I'll put
killing,
a link to that
satanic.
Miles Mathis piece. That'll be show note number three. I don't even know this story, but Miles Mathis hung out
I'll take a
in,
look because,
yeah.
yeah, there's a lot to suggest that maybe that was just a terrorist psyop to scare California for 6 months, and it must have worked. But the story here, though, of course, is that he was a Satanist and he actually met with the Church of Satan guy. But I'm noticing too that the Charles Manson event, the killings were done by Susan Atkins, another person associated with the Church of Satan. And I just find these correlations to be too close to Hollywood.
Right.
Directors like Roman Polanski. And
Right.
if you read their literature, they even talk, I'm talking about the Satanic Church, they talk about managing and controlling the sheeple with aesthetic terror. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if all these gruesome sick stories were products of the imagination of some
Yes.
sadistic people who want to intentionally scare you with the sickest things they can come up with.
And eating black homosexual boys, could you make up a more marginalized part of society? You couldn't.
No.
It's ridiculous. It's such a specialized fetish, if as it were. A white, dull looking suburban predator who was after black homosexual young boys. I mean, how would you even? We know all. I haven't watched the movie, and I barely remember the story. But it's just more product of, I think, a really sick mind. Some of the sicker minds come up with this stuff.
Well, check this out. Henry Lee Lucas, You know, they had like this body count, who killed the most. And it was, there was like this sick obsession with it. There were serial killer trading cards. And I believe that Henry Lee Lucas had the most. And I looked into this guy, and he, you know, he killed a few hundred. He was traveling around with his brother, Otis O'Toole. Nasty people. I think one of them killed their own mother. Anyway, it turns out that he couldn't have been in all of those places to have killed all of those people. It would have been physically impossible.
Oh, here's another one.
And what they realized,
yep,
somebody was closing cases, and he was taking credit for something. They were giving him some kind of benefit, but he didn't kill all those people. He was just a liar.
Yeah, Miles Mathis has one on Henry Lee Lucas, too. So if you don't know Miles W. Mathis, whoever he is, whatever it is, he writes exclusively on this kind of stuff. And
now, look what Rocco said in the chat. He said, fear your neighbors, especially the nice one. Now, that's one of the key points I took out of all my reading of true crime. Every book opened with the same. The typical serial killer is white, middle class, nice, polite, owns his house, 20 to 35, and presents an image of trustworthiness. Like, they set you up like, don't trust anybody. The more off your radar somebody is, the more likely they're going to eat you. Like, it's a clever game, but that's what they've done. They characterized people who wouldn't fit the profile.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
True crime killing is basically, true crime books is all profiling, but it's having you profile the person. Who knows today who they would label? You know, MAGA hats are the threats today, but they've switched from serial killers to terrorists and mass shooters.
Yeah, or people that or people that are skeptical about the official narrative. They're the domestic terrorists, and that's just about anyone who has a skeptical podcast like yourself and myself. So, and we're not really even reaching that many people. But on the other hand, they don't want anyone thinking, let alone listening to what we have to say. So, I think our message is the most important.
Well, we do reach a good number of people. I mean, I know that the mainstream media, they lie about their numbers. I don't think they're reaching the numbers they say.
I agree.
And I do have plans for Infinite Plane Radio. Like right now, it'd be great if we could just mirror this on an AM station. And
yeah,
I
agree.
A few. And most of it,
the only problem with that is I bought a couple of cheap Chinese radios. I was trying to get something to stream our shows in my vehicles. And a lot of the new radios, they don't come with AM. It's not even on the dial anymore. AM is being phased out. And the signal is much more weak than it ever was because they're taking all the bandwidth and putting it for internet, mobile internet. So it's going away, but I personally don't listen to any radio and haven't for a long time. I'm not sure.
It depends on where I am. It depends on where we are. Like, and that's what I'm saying. There's a little bit of research that goes into it, but I found a place near Tampa, and their numbers are something like 30,000 every 15 minutes. They do these quarterly measurements. And the idea was you pay for a month and you get a certain number of hourly slots. And my idea would be my second hour gets broadcast to 30,000 plus people, and we invite them to call in. And I think that's just one example, but yeah, it really varies. Where I'm at, there's virtually nothing to listen to. And it's strange. They play the same Van Halen song on and the same Zeppelin song every day, and they have as long as I've been alive.
Yeah. I see people in old cars that drive around with the Apple iPhones in their ears or the wires hanging out of their ears. So they're not even listening to their own stereo. They're listening to their phone. I don't know if you ever look into...
It's almost like they're trying to close off any kind of unfiltered communications. If it's not going through that black screen, they don't want it being heard or seen. And, you know, maybe AM is dying. Maybe it's not. Whatever it is, if it is...
It's worth a try.
Phased.
I heard you talk about that a year ago, and I was wondering if you ever going to do it. But, yeah, it sounds interesting. I like the idea.
Oh, yeah. To me, the next phase is going into print and AM. Between these two, I think we can move a lot of things forward. And by moving things forward, I'm not trying to wake up the normies and the world stagers. I don't want to interrupt them necessarily. I think that what we're doing here can reach people who have already figured out what's fake and already have their their epistemology is intact. It hasn't been totally inverted. And I think there are enough of them that we have a sizable 24/7 parallel media network that never has to kowtow or beg for forgiveness or be slandered by the MSM. And I think we're growing that organically. But my intention here is to just speed it up. I'd like to have 1,000 people listening because we get more calls back to back. We get more interesting information. And you know, that's the main thing for me. It's like we're reaching more observers, and it just makes things more interesting.
No, I agree. I was supposed to be streaming tonight to the Died Suddenly Facebook group, which has 300,000 people. But the guy wasn't able to do it tonight, and he was going to hook up a restream. So it came across that he was doing the broadcast because apparently people are more likely to see him streaming than, say, my profile streaming on his group. So that was another way I was trying to reach a much larger audience, mostly of older women who are on Facebook. That they seem to be the ones that are consumed with Facebook and the whole Died Suddenly meme. And Died Suddenly is a movie Stu Peters is putting out, I think, this week. So there should be a lot of overlap, and I'm hoping to reach that audience. It would be great if I could reach 1,000 people at the same time, even though that's not really a fakeologist IPS audience. There would be ability to promote the platform and get people that are scratching their head, seeing that there's something wrong, to take a look. So that's usually Thursday what I do. And so that's.
Yeah, I did see Diet Suddenly was trending. Mm-hmm. And right now on my end, I have an account here, about 75 people listening on the platform and on the audio there.
Oh, wow.
And I did put a link, and I'll post it again just to send people over to FakoTube, and if they want to post over on your site. Mm-hmm. And I am going to make an effort, you know, to upgrade all of my equipment. It's one of the reasons why I'm expanding into print and why I want to do AM. You know, just want to make it possible to.
Have you ever done a GoFundMe?
It won't be.
Or a GiveSendGo? There are a lot of podcasters that are doing that.
I just set up a GiveSendGo because for people who didn't know, GoFundMe will cancel you.
Yeah.
If you're not a crisis actor, you have to be part of the Government Actors Guild. If you don't have your gag card, they pull your funds. But yeah, I'm on GiveSendGo, and I think that's the one that even hosts Alex Jones. And if they have Alex Jones, they'll probably host you.
Where is the link to that?
At ips.monster.
Okay.
You can pretty much it's GiveSendGo/InfinitePlaneRadio also.
Okay.
And you know, right there I put on there I'm raising money for anti-vax publications, and I specified that even though I want to publish a lot of things, but I just want to make a point that anybody who has these opinions that are being censored and they're tired of it, whether or not you care about the issue, you should care about the issue of free speech. And this is going to be a free speech move. It's not just about putting it into print, but every print publication will be containing QR codes and embeds so people can download stuff and re-upload it on their own, supplemental material, live or rather audio readings of the articles. But anyway, yeah, givesendgo.com/infiniteplaneradio is what I would send people if they want to support
that. Yeah, because it's not on your main page here.
I'll put it on there, though. Thanks for letting me know. I just thought about that.
givesendgo.com/infiniteplane. Radio?
Radio. Mm-hmm.
Let's see if that comes up.
Well, hey, thanks for having me on, and I'll be listening for when you get on this other show.
Okay,
you found it. Good.
There. I'll put a link to it as well. Yeah, that's every Thursday that I do that. I host the show, but the guy that normally does it wasn't available tonight. But we do get real callers, I think. They seem like real people that are talking about real problems that come from the injection. So I'm not doubting these people, but... it is quite interesting, and I have an open mind because there are a lot of people that are skeptical about all these injuries, and now I guess we have some of the Hollywood people that are sort of faking these injuries to make it sort of a mockery of those that are maybe getting really hurt. I don't know. It's
interesting.
There's a lot of double bluffing going along.
Yeah, someone in my chat, Lloyd Miller, he's frequently bringing these points up, and he thinks I'm too dismissive of the damage.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't keep bringing up the exaggerations or the hyperbole, because that could be a red herring to distract you from what's there. And that's my point in printing things. You know, I think that the best way to arrive at the truth is to shine a bright light. And what they want to do is, you know, bury it if they don't agree with it. And it's looking very suspicious, but, you know, I have my own take on the subject, but free speech is the main thing for me. And getting back into print means printing anything having to do with exposing hoaxes. No fear of being sued. You know, I really don't have that as a concern whatsoever. Anyway, I appreciate you having me on again. We should definitely touch base here.
Yeah, we'll keep in touch. We'll make it more regular. I promise. I think we should do that. An hour is good as well. So everyone support IPS, IPS.monster. And thanks. Have a good night. And we'll talk to you later.
Awesome. Good speaking with you. Have a good
one. All right. Take care. There goes IPS. Thanks, IPS, for joining at the last minute because my regular Thursday show was abruptly canceled, but we are going to do that again. Yeah, sorry about Tim's connection. His computer seems to be doing too many things, and you're getting audio interrupts, which is why you heard all that clicking. So it was a little frustrating, but I didn't want to restart. It does take a while to restart everything, so I thought, well, we'll just keep going. It was mostly audible, for sure, and easy to understand, I thought. So, well, thank you, everyone, for joining in tonight. Today is Thursday, so it's the end of my broadcast week. I know I was a little away this last week, but we will be on the audio chat, fake11.com/discord and fake11.com/gilded. And we will have regular Saturday morning, all morning, it seems, audio chats. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just go to fakeologist.com and click on podcasts. If you click on podcasts, you will see we have two streams that you can look for in your favorite podcast app. We have the Fakeologist Show and the Fakeologist Audio Chat. And to participate in them, you can go to Discord, go to Gilded. I'm just looking for the links right now as we're talking. And here we go. If you want to participate in the audio chat, you just click this link that's grayed out here. A little hard to see. And you can see that this is how we work. This is a little diagram. You can click on Discord, and it says here TeamSpeak, but I'm switching that to Gilded. I think I'm going to give up on TeamSpeak because it's really old technology that isn't quite as pretty. So just come to this page to participate. And finally, thank you to the donors, recent donors, Daniel A., we've got It Appeared to Bank Sharply. That's a mouthful of a name. Thank you for your monthly donation. Thank you to Dave J., who donated 437 code, and all the other monthly sustaining donors. Thank you for the value for value. And, of course, fakeologist.com/donate if you want to donate. We even take Epic Cash, Monero, or Bitcoin. So thank you guys for helping out, and we will play out with some Alan Parsons. We did have the phone lines open, but nobody called tonight. You can call at any time. I usually answer the phone. If I don't, you can leave a message. We'll play your message. Just fakeologist.com/contact, and you can call in as well. And we'll have Tim Osman a little more frequently, I think. If you look at the live show notes, or sorry, if you look at the live show schedule, fakeologist.com/live, it says here October 30th, Rambo at 2 o'clock. He's in England. I just listened to his show with Human Vibration, and he said he's doing a show with her on Sunday, October 29th, which of course doesn't exist. So I'm going to send him a message asking if he's going to be available on the 30th still. So that is on the schedule, but now it's up in the air. We'll have to clarify that. And he does a show that's quite interesting with Human Vibration. Okay, that's it. Have a good night, everybody. We will see you Saturday, Sunday, all the time. Come to the Discord. Send me an email if you like the show. If you don't like the show, send me an email. And don't forget value for value. If you like independent media, make sure you support it, including IPS as well. Take care.